Welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela Quinn, and I am a mom on a mission to help you launch, grow, and scale a profitable freelance business from home. Join me each week for tangible business advice along with inspiring interviews, all designed to help you mom strong, work smart, and live free. If you are loving this podcast, finding yourself motivated or inspired, learning something new, or just a fan of the show, do me a favor and help me spread the message. Screenshot the episode, add it to your Insta stories, and tag me at Michaela.Quinn. Every share helps me reach more and more moms, and I may just share your share and feature you in my Insta stories too, because together we can take over the world. All right, mama, it's time. Grab your coffee, water, or wine because we are starting. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Live Free Podcast. Today, I am chatting with Daphne Williams, who is a former teacher that now helps teachers transition out of the classroom into their next careers. And we're talking today about the guilt that comes with leaving a profession that is focused on serving others, like being a teacher or a nurse or any other career out there that it's kind of like drilled into you that you're here in a place of service. But we want to talk about how we can let go of that guilt and move into careers that are better fits for ourselves and our families. Daphne, I am so ready to talk about this topic with you. But first, thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you so much, Michaela, for allowing me to come on and speak to your community. I have been a big fan of what you're doing for helping, especially a lot of moms live some flexible lives with doing virtual and freelancing work. So really excited to chat.
Yeah. And guys, real quick, before we get into kind of Daphne's background and her story out of the classroom and what she's doing now, I connected with her on Instagram. I can't remember. It was a couple months back, but I don't know where it was or what, but she had a post and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to be friends with this lady and help save all those teachers that are just feeling stuck. Like I felt so long ago. So that's a fun way of how you can connect and meet people all around the world on Instagram. I love it. Daphne, can you go ahead and just start by kind of telling us, you know, a little bit about you, what you do, and your background?
Yeah. So I probably, like you, went into teaching because I wanted to do something that helped other people. I wanted to serve my community, make an impact. I'm really intrinsically motivated as a person. And I got into teaching, I think in my late 20s is when I finally finished the program and started actually working as a classroom teacher. After a few years in the classroom, I realized, you know, this isn't new teacher jitters. I just don't feel like myself. Something about this is not meshing with me, but I'm going to give it another year. I was transferring to a new district and I thought maybe it was just a change in leadership or a demographic might help me feel better. Maybe that was going to be the year that it all clicked for me and I had it all figured out. And it honestly ended up being one of the worst experiences of my life. I had a very toxic administration and it just broke me mentally and physically. I found myself going to the hospital for stress-related illnesses, but bawling on the way to work. Things that I think sometimes teachers make normalize it, but it's not normal. It's not normal to be that unhappy in your day-to-day job. So at the end of that year, I realized I'm going to find something else. And I Googled other jobs for teachers over and over and over again. And this was, I don't know, 2017. There were no resources or support for that type of transition. And as I talked to other people and asked them for advice, they just kept saying, oh, no, you can't do that. You're a great teacher. You can't find something else. I pushed past the noise. I found a new role. So I started working in the past few years. I've worked for some of the top names in education as educational consultant or also as an instructional designer. And during that time, I've spoken at national conferences and I work for free professional development for teachers. And many teachers would come up afterwards and ask, how did you do it? How did you get out? And that's what really started to
take
inspire
us with you.
Me. Yeah, that's what really started to inspire me. I have the skills now. I have the knowledge. I want to help serve this community to understand there are things that you can do prior to leaving to make sure that you're clear on that being what you want to do. But after you have decided, it's okay to leave and find a new role, and you can still continue to make an impact beyond the classroom. And through that, I've been doing teacher career coach is what my project has been called, what my community has been called. And I've been working on that for the last few years. And it's been very, very rewarding to help other people who are suffering and struggling to kind of push past the noise and understand that, you know, you'll always be a good person no matter what you choose to do beyond the classroom.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you decided to leave the classroom, was that a hard decision? And I want to ask that, but I also, when we're talking about this, for those of you that are listening that aren't teachers, because my audience, there's a wide range of former professions, people in a variety of professions and a variety of careers. And I think teaching is a profession that there comes so much extra stress, and there's a lot of people that leave that field. But there's also probably people listening that aren't teachers that can relate to that feeling of driving to work and just bawling, or like it becomes Sunday night at 5 and your body just starts to tense up knowing that you have to prepare for another week at a job, and everything, like the glow and excitement of the weekend is fading into another work week.
So when I started to look for other careers, I had to really think of it from a perspective of what would be the worst case scenario if it didn't work out for me in a new career path. Because at that moment, I was just so low that I knew anything could be different. And I knew that even after evaluating that last school year, that it was actually the administration that was challenging me and pushing me to my extremes, I still wasn't 100% happy. So I knew that I would always regret not actually trying. That's one thing that anybody in this position, I want you to know that I've had a lot of stress after I've left the classroom. No job is going to be perfect. No situation is going to be perfect. However, the last 3 or 4 years, I've worked harder and I've had more successes and failures, but I've done so and just been genuinely a happier person. So you need to first evaluate what level of, you know, burnout are you, and what are the pros and cons of actually leaving that situation? Because if you are bawling on the way to work, if you are anxiety filled, you just can't sleep the night before because you hate where you're going so much, what would be the biggest risk of actually leaving that? And I know security is always going to be that thing. So don't just jump without having some sort of security and backup plan. But if you did go to a new position, start freelancing, if you started to build your client base, would you be able to pivot from that or continue to grow in that direction? Would you potentially be able to go back to your old work, but maybe at a different company, if you ended up not trying this and not pursuing it? And what would not doing it feel like? Would you regret never knowing whether or not? Because for me, you know, I was probably on a scale of 1 to 10. I was like a 2 on the happiness meter. So I would sacrifice that 2 security to be a 2 for anything. And now I can clearly say I'm a 10, and I would sacrifice even a 5 or a 6 or a 7 on the happiness meter to be a 10, at least to try, at least to know that I did it. So people who are in positions that are struggling with making this decision, just start to kind of lay out the steps of what would be the worst case scenario if this didn't work out? How would I get myself out of that? And then know you're never going to 100% feel ready for this, because that's just not how our brains work. Our brains are terrified of changes like this because we're comfortable. We're in our comfort zone, even if we're unhappy. So we're going to push past all of that discomfort in order to grow, and at least in order to try to see if this is what we want.
Yeah. So one thing I'm curious about is, how did you know that being on the 2 of happiness, that it was tied to teaching and not, like, what I'm trying to, I guess, get to is, when I was considering leaving teaching and like looking at other options, I had to ask myself, like, what do you want? And how do you know that whatever you're going to isn't going to bring about these same feelings? Because everyone thought, you know, when I was talking to my parents and like, oh, I just want to be at home with my kids and blah, blah, they thought it all came back to the amount of money I was making. I'm like, oh, just go get a job here and you'll make more money and everything will be great. But there's sometimes you're replacing one job that's not a great fit for another. And, you know, you said that stress never just goes away completely.
Yeah. So for me, it was a little bit easier because I had career. I mean, I wouldn't call them careers, but I had been a full-time bartender at a couple different bars, like a dive bar that was sometimes a little bit on the violent side, kind of a punk rock bar. And then I had a really cool bartending job at a tiki bar. And both of those are fast paced. And even like one was kind of sketchy. That did not stress me out in the same way that teaching did. And I kept looking back and thinking, I've worked with other people. I've worked in different fast-paced environments. My brain didn't feel as fatigued as teaching is making me. And it was a lot of like that decision fatigue. It was just it wasn't a good fit for me. And I could tell that in my past experiences of working, I never felt like that. And once I started teaching, I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel at home. And I wanted to explore something else, but I truly did not have a very clear set path. And that's part of the process. Look at different things that are exciting to you. Look at different things that you are good at, that when you do them, even if they're not necessarily exciting, let's just say like search engine optimization. I always thought I was going to like blogging. I don't. I hate blogging. I really like search engine optimization. And that's not something that I would have known if I didn't start actually getting my hands dirty and trying. But like, if you notice those things, I could do this for 2 or 3 hours. I could dork out on that. Try and do more of those things and see where that path leads you. And if you're not going to know what your 3-year plan is, none of us do. Yeah. You can write it down and you can start working towards that because that's great. But you know, the universe is going to start guiding you in the direction that you need to head. And you just have to kind of trust the process.
And start. I love that. And I was laughing as you were saying that of like, even if you wrote down a plan and you sat down and crafted the best plan ever, it's going to change. It's going to look different. And if you're focused on trying to find that perfect next step, that exactly right path you're supposed to go, you're going to waste so much time because there's never one right answer. You'll find that answer through experience. I fully believe. And one thing I wanted to ask you is since you had other careers, if you had any of this, like getting towards the guilt of leaving, did you have any guilt around like, you know, I just spent all this time and energy in a program to become this thing. And now I don't want to be that thing.
For me, I ended up leveraging my teaching experience into roles in education. Mm-hmm. So I kind of used it as my stepping stone or a pillar into the same direction. But for anybody who's struggling with the guilt of, you know, leaving and especially making a totally different pivot where it's not building off of your educational experience, you're always going to have a teacher heart and your experience as a teacher is going to shape you as a human being. For the rest of your life, you will have a teaching itch and you're going to, I've talked to real estate agents who said, they started to go into becoming a real estate agent and they were struggling because it just felt like I was like, what can I do to get you into this house today? And then when they really broke it down, it was walking new couples through the home buying process and teaching them what they want to look for in a home to bring them comfort and to help them understand what type of house they want. I talked to software engineers that after they've been a software engineer, they walk new software engineers through how to succeed at the company. You're always going to have that. And so your experience is not wasted. You impacted a classroom for years and you're able to use those skills in a new way anywhere you go.
Can you speak to what some of those skills and qualities are that make teachers so pivotable? Because I know that's one thing I struggled with, especially when I was trying to figure out what I could do beyond the classroom to make some money and be with my family in the terms that I wanted. I just sat there and like, no one would hire me. I have nothing to offer. All I know is the classroom. I can go like start an in-home daycare, but I didn't want to do that because I love my kids. I don't love other people's, no offense. Sitting at home with six toddlers would be a jail for me. But I just, for so long, I was like, I have no option. So what are some of those talents and qualities that make teachers such a desirable candidate, no matter what avenue they want to go, whether it's freelancing or doing education consulting or training for other companies?
So I think that the thing that many teachers suffer with, and I think, or suffer from, and I think women in general also suffer from imposter syndrome, but teachers have felt so devalued, even though, you know, society on paper says, here's a candy bar, teacher appreciation week, here's a Starbucks gift card. We know how society feels about us based on Facebook comments. We know how society feels about us based on our pay scales. So when we start to try and transition, we struggle when it comes to building up ourselves as career professionals, because we go in and we say, oh, I'm just a teacher, because we've been fed that and that's just how we feel. But teachers need to really learn to translate their skills, because they do have a lot of transferable skills. Some of them being, you are able to take complex information, you are able to learn it and catch on to it quickly, and then chunk it into bite-sized pieces to deliver it to another audience. Yeah. You're very great at written and oral communication. You're great at presentation. I don't need to tell you that. But you're also great at data, you know, data planning. You're great at, if somebody's looking for, let's just say like a virtual customer support person, you can send out a quick form asking them how they're feeling on a scale 1 to 5 and ask them just for some insight into what they can do to make this experience a little bit better. And you'd really quickly be able to look at the data and say, hey, I noticed that people are struggling with this part. Let's just really quickly create a resource that helps walk them through that, since they're having some trouble understanding that. Teachers pick that up a lot quicker than other people do. So when it comes to customer support, customer success types of virtual work or even educational spaces, there's something that teachers don't really realize, that they have a lot of manager skills. They've been managing teachers' assistants. They've been organizing either as grade level leaders. So they do some, you know, project mapping. They'll be doing some project planning and project management. You just have to kind of fill in the gaps with a couple of tech tools that maybe you're not as familiar with, some that are very easy to learn. But you come in, you were basically the little CEO of your own company. You were looking at 30 different people at all times. And those 30 people, you were differentiating everything you did 30 different times of the day. You're also really great at making inferences on what your customers need before they even say it. You're really great at reading people and understanding, oh, it looks like, or I can assume that this person might struggle based on X, Y, and Z. So why don't I jump in and make sure I help them before they struggle there? And that's something that a teacher does that not everybody does. And it's those so are natural. All skills that are so valuable to companies. You are someone with a great heart that just wants people to be happy.
So what are some options for teachers outside of moving into freelancing? Where do you see some of your students going? Hey there, real quick interruption from me, Michaela Quinn. Anyways, I wanted to make sure that you knew that we just added a 12-month payment plan to our program, the Live Free Academy. You can enroll and get started today for just $147. If you go to go.michaelaquinn.com or just head to the show notes on this episode, we've got it linked there as well. You can read all the details and click one of the buttons to go enroll. And on there, you'll see the 12-month payment plan option.
when you choose the 12-month payment plan option, you get the entire course the second you enroll. We don't hold anything back because you're on a payment plan. You'll get access to the How to Build Your Business from Start to Finish course, skills training, the job leads board, the coaching calls, the student community Facebook group, and everything else that is a part of the Live Free Academy program so that you can get started freelancing and land your first client in 30 days, 60 days, however long it takes you to go through the course and then start implementing. Again, you can see all the details at go.michaelaquinn.com/academy or head to the show notes and click the link there. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, so I actually made a career quiz on this because I've worked with human resources departments and people who are experts in the hiring space for the last few years to make sure that I really understood what different types of companies valued in teachers and what were the most common positions that they would take a transitioning teacher into. And there are three different buckets. And Kayla, I heard you say earlier, like, you're not having it with other people's kids. That's personally where I am. I don't have any children at home, but I realized quickly that I struggled a little bit with that component of it where I love kids, but like at a limited capacity. And I was nervous that it was going to hinder my ability to be a good mother someday. I just thought, oh, great. Like now I'm going to be salty all the time with my own kids if I'm constantly working with kids. So the first bucket would not be for you. That's the career bucket. I kind of call it like staying within education. And those are people who work at like museum education positions. Mm-hmm. Think of anywhere that you ever went as a teacher, as like for a field trip, not just museum education, but anywhere where they end up doing field trips. They have, you know, education directors, they have content and curriculum teams that actually do those types of resources. You could also find daycare communities and be the manager or the leader for those daycare communities. There's also hospital education types of positions. Mm-hmm. So those are the first ones for people who still really, and nonprofit work as well. Those are for people who are really interested in still working with kids. Another one would be for people who want to stay within the industry, but find new skill sets and grow in a new way. And that would be just working at an education company. So education companies hire former teachers because you understand the ins and outs of pedagogy. You understand the ins and outs of how their clients and their customers think and what you can do to help their clients and customers find out about this product and also be successful implementing it into the classroom. So education companies hire former teachers for customer success, customer support, sales roles, professional development roles, instructional designer, e-learning, all the teacher advocacy types of programs. And so that would be career bucket number two. And career bucket number three is nothing to do with education, but those like easier pivots for teachers would be instructional designer. A lot of instructional designers work in like the healthcare field, some for construction, but they also work just basically at any company that needs to create e-learning resources. That's an instructional design position. Corporate trainer roles are really popular for former teachers. And then one that was off by radar until I really started working with hiring teams is office manager positions. Mm-hmm. So anyone in the human resources department, like the learning and development manager, but office manager positions are people who are just looking around the team and saying, what can I do to make this team of 10 or 200 or 400 employees be successful? How can I help map out, plan a content calendar of what our different meetings are going to be? Organize all the human resources files. Maybe some of them are protected legally, which is something that teachers have a lot of compliance experience for. So there's a lot of opportunity there. And if you are interested in actually taking this quiz, if you are a teacher, I have it set up at teachercareercoach.com/livefree for this audience. So just one word, live free. But that would be my first of, you know, I feel like that went on for 5 minutes, but
no, it's great suggestions. To see all of the different options, because like you said, when teachers are in there feeling stuck and unhappy, or anyone, you're searching like career pivots, opportunities for blah, blah, blah. it's good to know what your options are and be able to explore them if you're in that exploratory phase. And then once you kind of find what you want to pursue in and find what you want to go down, if you start to feel that guilt nagging you of like, but you're a good teacher, but what about these kids? How do you talk to teachers about that guilt, Daphne?
Yeah, so that is super common. It's something that I struggled with as well. I scratched my teacher itch by continuing to volunteer. There's a really cool nonprofit organization that works with like creative writing workshops with kids. So I would volunteer there every once in a while. And I've been fortunate enough to work at companies in education space whose values and mission align with my own personal values. And I see the impact that they're having on educators. And I hear the behind the scenes discussions of how they want to support educators. And it's something that I'm able to know I'm still making an impact in a positive way, but in an environment that supports me. But this is something that a lot of people struggle with. And if you don't feel like you have that intrinsic motivation, if you are working in a company that maybe they're just, you know, they're just focused on revenue and you're having a hard time understanding how that can scratch that like good heart itch that you have, there's something to be said that teachers kind of went in and they stopped doing everything because they, you know, or they stopped. Everything that they did was completely geared towards other people and other people's needs. At some point in your life, your needs are going to conflict with other people's needs. And that's just life. And it's very, very challenging, but you have to just kind of always remind yourself, someday my needs, my family's needs are going to conflict with other people's needs. And that's how you just have to kind of smash that conflict in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's okay to prioritize your needs and your family's needs above outside needs. That's absolutely okay. For your students that have had that guilt leaving the classroom, what do they say now that they've started a new career? Is it worth it? Do they have any other mindset issues that come up?
A lot of the mindset issues that come up are with the actual career transition process itself, because it's challenging. It's not going to be an overnight success. And so if you see someone, even as far as freelancing goes, I'm sure you probably have success stories of this person's making full-time income freelancing. And if you don't see the other side of how many months it took for them to get there or how long it took them to get to the comfort level that they're at right now, it's hard
what
to realize
that they were doing day to day to get those results. Because you might just see that result. You don't see the hard work, the early nights, the late nights, the what they did to get that.
Yeah. So I think always keeping a realistic perspective of this is not going to be an overnight thing. Because that's one of the biggest mindset challenges, especially if you're throwing out resumes and you keep hearing no, you're going to automatically assume this is because I stink. Nobody wants to hire me. And everybody else is great. I suck. I'm going to walk away from it. But the reality is that everyone struggled and everyone had that same doubt because it's an abyss. You throw out a resume and it's stuck in an abyss and you have to kind of play the game of you just can't give up. You can change your resume. You can get better. You can earn new skill sets. You can keep focusing on networking. There are all these action items you need to be working on during that time. But the only thing that's going to make you fail is actually just walking away from this goal altogether and saying, never mind, I stink. Because you don't know, the change can happen in the very next week. Every single person, and myself included, I flopped around on the couch, bawling, hysterical. Nobody's going to hire me. I stink. I only have teaching experience. And then finally, the very next week, someone called and it was the job that, you know, has changed my life. Yeah. So you are just around the corner, but the timeline is something that you cannot control. So yeah. Just kind of trusting the process and growing and patient is not my favorite word because I also struggle here. You want it to happen overnight. Many of the people who have successfully transitioned have told me that they don't struggle with the guilt the second that they're actually happy, but they struggle with talking too much about being happy because they know that they have fellow colleagues and they don't want to be boastful. They don't want to make other people feel bad or, you know, and that's not something that really happens in other industries.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard you talk about your husband, my fiance, I've talked about it all the time. And I said, what if someone was really unhappy at your work? What if he said, I don't want to have this job. And he posted about it over and over again. And then he left or, you know, or he said people would be happy for him that he finally got out of it. Like, it'd be weird that he was that unhappy and staying for that long. But also like, he's like, people would take the job, but we'd be fighting over who gets that position.
Yeah, there's this weird culture and like unhappiness, kind of like if I'm unhappy, everyone's going to be unhappy, kind of in that there can be that in some teacher communities. And
it's important to empathize with, you know, I understand what happens when a teacher leaves.
Yeah.
I empathize with it adds more work to someone's already very filled plate. However, that is not a single human's individual responsibility. And the people who do end up ultimately leaving have spent many sleepless nights worrying about this because they are good people and they went into this with a good heart. They know exactly what's going to happen if they leave. And that's what made them suffer and struggle for so much longer. So empathizing on both fronts, you know, I understand what happens. And then also, please just support this person because they were your teammate and you don't know how many therapy sessions they went through. You don't, you know, just talking about you. Well, Miss Smith in the third grade, I'm so sad that I'm going to leave her.
Yeah. Do you ever, this is a question for you. Do you ever feel guilty about how many teachers you are getting out of the classroom? Or like, do you ever think about that? Like, gosh, there's going to be no more teachers left. This has been such a hard year.
I don't. And that is the first time someone's asked me that. I don't.
Maybe
and
I
this
just,
is why. Because it's not easy to do it. It takes a lot of struggle. This is not the easy way out. What I want and what I talk about on my podcast a lot are the ways that you can figure out with clarity if that is what you want. But, you know, changing grade levels, changing schools, changing districts, focus on sustainable teaching practices. Those are types of things that you can implement first to make sure it's a good fit. However, I think that it's okay for anybody to leave any position at any time if that's what their heart calls. And I don't think that teaching needs to feel any different than it is a career choice that you chose. Mm-hmm. It sucks because children, the reason you went into it is because you wanted to support children. And so your morality is always going to be called into question if you aren't always focusing on what's best for children. But is a miserable teacher what's best for the children? Period. And if not, then let's stop talking about it like it's about the children. It's about leaving everybody trapped into this corner without other options. I think that it's smart and sound advice and advice that people would give their own students to always have a plan B. Mm-hmm. And teaching has been a career that people have never felt comfortable talking about their plan B until recently. Mm-hmm. So I think doing so in a healthy way, it's okay for you to have a plan B in your back pocket. It's okay for you to explore other opportunities. And then if you are unhappy, it's okay for you to leave. Even if you're really happy, it's okay for you to leave.
Yeah. If it just becomes not working for you anymore and the life that you want to have.
And I also hope that this is a wake-up call to toxic administrators everywhere that have always kind of banked on there's something, I think it's human giver syndrome. So I had a therapist that I talked to on the Teacher Career Coach podcast, and she talked about basically the dynamic between it's like, I think it's human giver syndrome. So I'm so sorry if I'm wrong for anyone listening, but there are two types of people. There's givers or helpers, and they are supposed to constantly be in a state of submissiveness and helping and kind and compassionate and patient, and they're giving, they're always giving. And then there are people who are able to consume, live, create, do whatever they want. And I think that there's been for too long this unfair systematic oppression on teachers in the workforce of, you are supposed to just give and you are not allowed to have an opinion or have a concern, and you're not allowed to leave because you're not going to leave because that's not what's best for the kids. And so I hope that this changes the environment and the structure of schools where they realize, in the same capacity of every other career choice, your best candidates, your best, you know, employees can get scouted and recruited from other companies at any time. After I left teaching, that is how the companies I've worked for have treated me. They know at any time you can leave, even if you're happy, because there might be better opportunities. And I think that schools, districts, the government needs to start understanding that teachers are the same. It is a career choice. That's it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's an important one, but it is just a career choice.
And that's, I think that's a huge change that's coming now, especially after the pandemic, not just with teaching, but just all companies that aren't treated like, it's hard. Companies are having a really hard time hiring full-time employees. No one wants to sign up for that anymore. Mm-hmm. There's so many other options out there, and employees either like, they need us. companies need people. And if it's their job to kind of entice and keep us, and if they can't, those companies that can't and can't adapt, it's going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah. And they're going to hire a lot of teachers for their human resources departments to do a lot of surveys and find out why there's not as many happy customer or happy employees. And then the teachers are going to implement some changes into those, you know, those different organizations to help bring satisfaction back into the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Daphne, where can listeners connect with you to learn more after the show?
The easiest way to find me is at that website that I created for your listeners, which is teachercareercoach.com/livefree, just one word, because I've included the career quiz right there and a couple of my favorite podcast episodes to date. One just about weighing the pros and cons, because my immediate answer isn't always, quit your job. So a resource about kind of laying out all the steps you would need to take and think about before quitting your job. And then also one specifically on battling teacher guilt. So that's teachercareercoach.com/livefree would be the easiest way for them to find me.
Okay. That sounds awesome. Well, Daphne, thank you so much for hanging out and chatting all things options for teachers. There's so many things you can do, guys. And if you're a teacher and you are unhappy, please go take a look at Daphne's resources and start exploring what is out there for you.
Thank you so much for having me. And just once again, you know, what you are doing is awesome. And I thoroughly support anytime people are just exploring the different possibilities and pushing themselves out of their freaking comfort zones.
Yeah, do it. Go out of your comfort zone. Thanks, Daphne.
Now, just because the episode is over doesn't mean the knowledge party has to stop. Come hang out with me and thousands of other mamas in my free Facebook group. Just search Facebook for the Live Free Podcast Mastermind with Michaela Quinn, or go to the show notes. We have it linked there. And make sure you answer the questions so our gatekeeper knows that you want in. And don't forget, sharing is caring. If you are loving this podcast, please take a moment to share it with your friends. But make sure you tag me at Michaela.Quinn on Instagram and at Michaela Quinn on Facebook. See you next week.